This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Children and anything Disney, and is perhaps one of the favorite rides of super young children. Maybe not the favorite of the governor of Florida. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I hope in your world all is calm and the chaos is being kept to a minimum. We live in certainly rocky, wild times, don't we? It is about Disney and DeSantis. Big news. Lots of people talking about this. What is it all about? I had somebody just say that to me. What is it all about? Explain what happened here. And we're going to do that. But first, a couple of other things, including what now has happened with the debt ceiling. Do I think we're going to hit a critical point where we plunder everything financially and roll into a different kind of chaos? I certainly hope not. And the prediction is that could happen by June, maybe even all the way up to the fall in September. But the House passed a Republican debt ceiling bill. It's really a close vote. Kevin McCarthy had to really squeeze this out. 215. That was the vote. So what does it mean for you and me? Well, it means exactly what I said. If the country can't pay its bills and the ceiling isn't lifted or there isn't something in place, a mechanism to handle this, then we get catapulted into the middle of it. And depending on economically where you are, and even not depending on economically where you are, it could be really, really disastrous. And then you ask yourself, well, how do we get into this situation where we keep accruing so much debt? And the answer is we're not taking in enough money, right? So we're not taking in enough money. It's the government spends more than it takes in. So then there was a mechanism that was put in place back in 1917 to allow Congress to raise the debt ceiling. And we've had to do that very frequently, especially in recent years, to keep on trucking. The United States reached $31 trillion. That's the debt ceiling in January. So the Treasury Department, you already know this, they call it extraordinary measures, which means basically they had to prevent the country from defaulting. But it's an accounting trick, if we want to call it that, a move. And it's temporary, just to give Congress time to figure it out. And they only have, I don't know, until maybe September at the most to do that. So is it summer deadline? What happens with the summer deadline? There have been crazy unexpected changes for some in the federal tax revenue. So that has been one thing. Economists are all over the map trying to agree on what the consequences of the inaction would be if there isn't action, because the president is not going to sign the Republican bill. There's no way, no how, and they've already said that. That White House press secretary said, no chance of becoming a law. Zero, none, nada. Not going to happen, no matter what. It is not going to happen. You had the longtime Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer say on the chamber floor that the Republicans are hostage taking, and the fault for the party's the fault for bringing the government dangerously closer to defaulting. And you know, if you go back in history, Democrats and Republicans have been guilty of this. It's, you know, finger pointing, fine, but it's happened all the way around. So why wouldn't the Democrats jump on board with this? Well, one of the things is that the president's programs to go after climate change, the money, and reduce student debt, which is up to $10,000 or more a person, that was all tied to this. And unless the Democrats buckle because of the problem of an impending fiscal crisis, then this does not go through. And you look at the odds. I mean, it's so gridlocked. Washington is just gridlocked. So will it be this unprecedented fiscal catastrophe? And it will affect all of us. All of us will be affected in some way by it. And, you know, it's interesting. You had the chair of the House Democratic Caucus who said every minute wasted on Speaker McCarthy's empty gesture is a minute we get closer to default. And the Republicans say the opposite, of course. So it's, again, the political two-step that you get in Washington. The bottom line is this. Is when you look at budgets and when you look at where we are and you look at, okay, where would the cuts come in? Federal health care, education, science, labor programs, defense wouldn't be cut. What does that mean? The student loan thing, loan thing, which is controversial. You were talking about waiving up to $10,000, like I already mentioned, from millions of borrowers. That, for sure, I can't imagine, does not get completely trashed. So we've already hit the ceiling. We already have extraordinary measures going on. And we have no deals that have happened so far at this point. But if we don't do anything, a default would devastate our economy. I mean, we keep hearing this. I mean, we're already on the precipice of recession, for goodness sake. But you would see even higher job loss where it was really a sting. You would see massive swings in the stock market. It would be severe. I think it's pretty easy to predict that. So let's see again what happens on the Hill, and if there isn't some kind of tweak, some kind of compromise, some kind of something that makes this happen. What it will be, I do not know, because they can't seem to reach that. All right, DeSantis and Disney. Disney sued the governor, alleging political retaliation. And of course, DeSantis goes the opposite way, and he's going after Disney. And this is interesting. Walt Disney Company sued DeSantis, alleging the Republican governor has waged a relentless campaign to weaponize government power. And the lawsuit was filed the same day that a DeSantis-backed board moved to undo a development deal that it says Disney struck to thwart its power. So you got this going back and forth here as to who's going to win what. And this is a fight that's going to take some time, because it's going to take some time through the courts. But it is interesting, and the timing is interesting for a popular governor who wants to be president. Man Cave next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure four-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
It's time to invade the man cave.
The man cave, and boy, there's a lot to talk about, so we're going to just dive in on all of it, including the fact that Miami won the series 4-1, beating the Bucks in a thriller of a game in overtime, 128-126 the final score. Grayson Allen had a chance to get off a final shot in overtime, did not do it. Unfortunately, boy, he looked so depressed after that, because there were some really tight games in this series. I mean, it was a stunner that this happened. For the Knicks, it's a stunner that they're in this position. They won their first playoff series since 2013. Huge for New York Knicks fans. They rolled the Cavaliers 106-95 on Wednesday. That was a very, very big series for New York, because there hasn't been a lot to cheer about. They've had some great players, but they have never been able to jump over to the next series. So the Knicks now will play the Miami Heat because they eliminated the Bucks. So it's interesting, this matchup, and what will happen here. And as we get further down the road, we will definitely preview that. And you've got other NBA playoffs that are happening, because we're still pretty much in the early rounds at this point. You had the Grizzlies, who staved off their own elimination by beating the Lakers at home 116-99. And I mean, they've got some great young players on that team, and they really stepped up big time. And then you've got the Warriors, who beat the Kings 123-116, and Golden State leads that series 3-2. I mean, Mr. Everything, Steph Curry, superstar, of course, for the Warriors, 31 points and 8 assists in the game. And then on Thursday, you have more to come, you know, as we get closer, like I said, to these next rounds of games that are happening. you get closer to the weekend and you've got not only just the NBA, but you have the NHL too as well. So on Thursday, you've got Boston leading the series over the Hawks 3-2. That one's being played in Atlanta. Boston is favored by 6.5. And then the other teams that I mentioned, they roll into their next ones, the Kings and the Warriors, the Grizzlies and the Lakers. And same thing if how much deeper this they end up going. And of course, you've got the other series that start. Like on Sunday, you have the Suns and the Nuggets in Denver. A lot of reason to be excited in Denver for that one because they've waited a long time. And then the Heat and the Knicks that I mentioned, that starts on Monday. And boy, there's a couple of really good matchups to watch. And of course, the player to watch is Butler, is Jimmy Butler and his impact and the impact he's had for the Miami Heat all season, but what he means in these playoffs, they're going to really, really rely on him. All right, move over Benny and the Jets because it's about Aaron and the Jets. We knew this was going to happen. I talked about it a little bit the other night. Big story for Packer fans who still aren't happy with how this all unfolded, but for Jet fans, this is it. This is what's had to happen and who they need to lead the team. Even if he's an older quarterback, he has the right stuff. I mean, certainly if you look at the performance of Aaron Rodgers over the course of his career, if you get him at 100%, let's say, just healthy, then you definitely could have lightning in a bottle and with something to prove. So Aaron Rodgers said goodbye to the Packers in social media right before the whole blockbuster trade thing. He had kind of a lengthy post actually on his Insta page, pictures and had all kinds of things there. I was kind of surprised when I saw that, but he now moves on to a completely different situation in New York, where he's talking Super Bowl already and saying that he is excited because he was introduced on Wednesday at a news conference in the afternoon. And he says he's excited for this New York team. And I guess that's the right attitude. So we'll see what kind of Rodgers you get here. But I don't know. To me, I think it was a smart move by the Jets to pick him up because he is that quarterback that one is going to get people excited, two because of his experience, and the others that will be around him, he has kind of that mentorship role, I think. And I think he'll actually embrace that because that's always a question. But I think he will this time around. The Tennessee Titans are going to be excited by this. A $2.1 billion proposal to build a dome stadium for the Titans was approved by the Metro Council in Nashville, 26-12. That was the vote. That happened Wednesday morning. It is the largest in the city of Nashville's history. They're going to use at least $1.26 billion in public money, making it the largest public price stadium in the United States, breaking the record that was just set by the Buffalo Bills' approved deal for a planned new stadium that includes $850 million in public money. The committee met for 5 hours on Tuesday, the day before their final vote on Wednesday morning. So the stadium is going to be just east of where the current location is, and it's part of this redevelopment plan for that waterfront neighborhood in downtown Nashville. And so here's the thing. Why a dome stadium? Well, a dome stadium is going to make them a contender to host the Super Bowl, college football playoff games, concert tours, and winter months. And it will help them attract more events. And I think that was part of that, certainly was a big part of the reason to make that to make that happen, because that was lacking there, and that's what you need to attract the big games. The way you can do it is to, especially with weather, the best way you can do that is by being in a situation where you can dome it up or close it up, and that's what the, you know, that's what the key, I think, is for them, for sure. A lot of, was being made in Major League Baseball about the Rays, about what was happening with the Rays and the way they were just ripping the cover off the ball and how many home wins they've had. Well, the Astros are shutting that conversation down. They beat them the other night in a tight game, and the Astros shut out the Rays for the second straight one. You had Hunter Brown, who combined with two relievers on a two-hitter, and it was a 1-0 game in the end. Wow. Can you imagine sitting there? I like some offense, unless it's just an incredible pitching performance from the team that I like. If you were sitting there waiting, come on, woohoo, please, somebody. And, you know, nobody was able to come around on it at all. So the Rays are 20-5. And there are a couple of other teams that are starting to get up there, like the Braves are 17-8, for example, and they just beat the Marlins 6-4. But this has been a team that's been getting talked about a lot as a contendery team. I don't know if that's kind of a jinx when they, so early in the season, they start to put that on you. And the Astros have had their number, and the Astros, of course, are the defending World Series champs, so it's not necessarily any kind of a surprise. That there's nothing in that is stunning. Let's put it that way. Anyone. Not happening. The Angels have been an interesting team. They're 7-5 at home. They're 13-12. They took on the A's, who are soon to be a team moving to Las Vegas. But for now, they're in Oakland. The Angels at home crushed the A's 11-3. It was just a barrage of hits and homers. So if it was offense that you like I mentioned, I like offense, that would have been the game to be at, because they had a lot of offense, my friends. All right, we're closing the man cave up. Can you just hear that virtual lock going in right now? A couple of great authors coming your way next on Authors Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Thursday on Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity against charges related to overturning the 2020 election. The outcome could decide whether Trump faces a federal trial this year on 4 felony counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith. TikTok announced plans to take legal action to prevent new U.S. legislation that might result in its ban.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again.
CEO Xiao Chu described the bill's passage as obviously disappointing but not defining. A new rule from the Biden administration will soon make millions of salaried workers in the U.S. eligible for overtime pay. Announced Tuesday by the Department of Labor, the rule changes the threshold for salary employees to qualify for overtime. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Very pleased to welcome to America Tonight, Lee Halverson. His book is called Cong Catchers, A Soldier's Memories of Vietnam. Boy, do we have a fascinating off-air conversation. His book is a long, interesting, amazing read. It will take you on quite a journey. There's no question about it. And his life, I think, has been that kind of a ride. Lee, thanks for hopping on with us.
You're welcome.
So in Vietnam, at Vietnam, you were a dog handler. But before we get to that and what that was like and what you had to do around the perimeters and some of the fascinating stories that happened and some of the things you and your men did to actually help some children in Vietnam and you cared about the people, before we go down that road, what was your road to going to Vietnam? Because you got married, and then what happened?
Well, 2 weeks after we were married, I was sent to Vietnam. I'm not sure I'm answering your question.
Yeah, you are answering the question. So you're just married 2 weeks, and
yes,
you should be enjoying your honeymoon and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, boom, you go. And how did your wife feel about that? Ginny, how'd she feel?
Well, the high spot of that is we never had a single argument our first year of marriage. But as far as Jenny is concerned, she had just graduated from Iowa State with a degree in English and speech. She interviewed at least 20 schools to get a job, and her interviews went well. The school board hesitated in every case about hiring her because she was married to a soldier. And they figured when I got back from Vietnam, I would swoop her away and go elsewhere, and they would lose her as a teacher, and they wanted someone that would be in that position for a long time. So she couldn't get a job as a teacher, and she ended up living with her sister in Los Angeles and waiting tables until I got back from Vietnam.
Wow. So she's doing that. She's waiting. You're there. And when you get to Vietnam, what's that like for you in the role that you were playing? What was it like daily for you?
Oh, the daily operation, there's two things that have to be protected in a war zone. One is food, and the other is ammunition. Most of we attack dog handlers were sent to either a food yard or a ammo dump. Some were sent to helicopter pads, and our job was to protect the interior of whatever we had been assigned to. Generally, there was a lot of concertina wire around every facility, and our job was if anybody got through the perimeter, then we were to put our dog on them, attack them. Wow. The dogs were really efficient. We had drugs were a big problem in Vietnam. Many, many soldiers used drugs. And frequently, like at the ammo dump in Pleiku, that was guarded by 24 attack dogs. It was a huge, huge ammo dump. And the dopers would get together and have a pot party and not guard their given area. And those of us that didn't use drugs would periodically go through that post just because we knew somebody wasn't working it. And we had an occasion where there were four sappers. These are North Vietnamese soldiers with backpacks filled with plastic explosives. And if they get through, they throw the plastic explosives into the ammo dump and blow the whole thing up. And the dog handler caught four of them coming out of the last row of concertina wire, and his dog killed all four of them before any of them could throw a satchel charge into the ammo dump.
Wow.
That's how quick they were. Very efficient.
Yeah. Wow, no kidding. You told me a story, too, that was fascinating about a little boy who became sort of your secret weapon by telling you when there was going to be attacks. Tell the listeners the story about how you met him.
Sure. I was guarding a food yard. And again, my orders are anybody that comes through the concertina wire, I am to put the attack dog on whoever that is. It was dusk, just the sun had just gone down. And I saw this little boy, he was 8 years old, come through the last row of concertina wire, and he went directly to a garbage barrel, pulled out a rotten apple and shoved the whole apple into his mouth and just chewed and swallowed as fast as he could. And my orders were to attack that kid. Well, I couldn't do it. You know, I told you before, I'm a Christian, and one of the principles that I live by is Jesus Christ said to treat other people the way you'd want to be treated yourself. Well, I wouldn't want to be attacked if I was starving to death. My problem was if an officer had seen me not turn my dog loose on that boy, I could have been court-martialed. But I looked around. I didn't see anybody else. I knew enough Vietnamese that I spoke with the little boy and found out where he lived. And then I told him, you get out of here. Don't you ever come back. And at the end of my duty time, I would take a loaf of bread or a can of peaches or something, and when we drove by that little boy's home, I'd just shove it out the side of the truck. And I did this for quite a while and never thought too much about it until one night the little boy showed up at my bunker, or at my barracks, and said, G.I. be in bunker at 8 o'clock tonight. And I didn't know exactly what to think, but at 8 o'clock, we started getting rocketed. And from that point on, that little boy warned me of every single attack that was to come, and he knew it before our Army intelligence knew it. And very simply, I was taking care of him, and he was taking care of me.
Yeah. Wow, what a great story. And then, of course, there's a story, and we're speaking to Lee Halverson, Con Catchers, A Soldier's Memories of Vietnam. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, about the orphanage and how you had so many of your men eventually that helped you with the orphanage and what that was like. And that story came about because of these popcorn bombs and a baby crying, and that led you to creating these this orphanage. What happened there, and what was that like for you to see what it did to the men?
Well, when I took the baby to the orphanage had been damaged by mortar fire. And I when I married Jenny, I gave her my vow. I would be faithful to her. Now, most soldiers on a day off like to go downtown and get drunk and have some female companionship. And I didn't do that because I was going to be faithful to Jim. So on my time off, I went to the orphanage and started repairing it. I put in windows and fixed doors and siding and whatever it took. And one by one, the other guys in my company said, "You know what? Dad," they called me Dad, "I think my time would be better spent helping you at the orphanage than going downtown." And in time, most of my company all went to the orphanage on our time off. And all of these guys, it took one or two little kids that, in their mind, these are my kids. I remember one, his name was Arturo Wilhelmino Policelli. He's from the Bronx. He was a member of the Sicilian Army back home. He had to carry six knives on him, but old time. He picked a little boy that had been hit in the face with napalm. And the napalm had burned off his ears, his nose, his lips, his eyelids. It made you want to vomit just to look at him. He was horribly, horribly harmed. And Art would hold that little boy and cradle him and hum a song. It was just beautiful.
Wow. Wow, so many stories like this in this fascinating book. What do you hope people take away from reading Con Catchers?
Well, at least my experience so far in this is I have had wives of ex-Vietnam veterans call me crying and saying, "You know, my husband wouldn't say a word about what happened to him in Vietnam, but I got this book and I read it and I read some of your stories to him, and now he's talking like a magpie. And we're closer now than we have ever been, and I just wanted to call you and thank you." And the other is I've had parents call me and say, "I want my kid to read this book. I want him to, or her, to adopt the principles that you lived by. Would you come to our church and do a book signing?" So I've been asked to go to quite a number of churches where I have done a book signing, answered people's questions. It's been a very enjoyable experience.
Yep, you're having an impact, I would say, Lee. And we're out of time. People have to go and get this book, and they'll hear more of these stories. But what a big heart, what a wonderful story. Lee, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go.
Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
This time around on America Tonight, I'm pleased to take you to Australia for a conversation with Robert Phillips. He's written a book called 2100. He actually has another book out too. We're going to briefly talk about that because that sounds just as fascinating to me as you fast forward into the future. So, Robert, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. You're an aviation risk analyst. You did that for a big chunk of your life. And obviously, you had an interest in science fiction and things that are futuristic, and also in writing, because you know how to tell a really fine story. So how did that start?
Well, the storytelling started when I was about 4 or 5, writing stories, I think. But what inspired me with this one was wondering what society would be like in the future. And the process of writing was a long one. It went through quite a few revisions till eventually I settled on the book as it is now, set in 2100, and speculating on what life could be like at that time, the end of this century.
Yeah, and what do you think life is going to be like as you speculate about that?
Well, I'm working on philosophy, which may be something of an article of faith. I believe that things never turn out quite as well as you hope, nor as badly as you fear. For example, with global warming and the danger of reaching a 2-degree tipping point, I'd say we'll get close to the 2-degree mark and we'll hover on the edge and just manage to avoid the catastrophic changes, although we'll still suffer serious problems. I think along the way there'll be a price to be paid, and then I think the economy will eventually disintegrate, and that people will have to fall back on their own resources, or more particularly, on forming themselves in the communities and pooling their resources to survive for some of that time. But I think what might eventually happen is they live in a community-oriented lifestyle for some years and realise there are certain psychological benefits in that, is that even when better times return, they might elect to still stay with a community-oriented lifestyle, and that the prevailing ethos of society will have changed from maximising wealth to earning as much as you need, but otherwise concentrating on being part of your community or pursuing artistic or other pursuits. So it will become lifestyle-oriented.
Yeah, it's interesting because let's talk about your novel and that character, James Lawson, and what happens to him, and tell us a little bit about his journey.
Well, in many ways, he epitomizes the prevailing ethics of these days. Various reasons he wants to maximize his wealth. And initially, he's actually skeptical about climate change because it just didn't fit in with his worldview of the economy getting bigger and better and so on, until he discovered he could make money out of dealing with it, in his case by running an energy efficiency company and so on. And he became a believer. But in many ways, he did sort of in epitomise the spirit of the age, so to speak. But then he is struck down with a brain tumour, and he goes into hibernation for many years and is revived in 2100. And then finds himself in this very different type of society, which is far more community rather than profit oriented. It's about how he has to adjust to this strange new world he finds himself in.
And so he's in this strange new world, and you can't tell us everything because I certainly want people to get the book 2100, which, by the way, you can get Robert's book on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But what do you tell us some of the stories of what is so odd to him when he wakes up, I guess is how I'll put it.
Well, firstly, there's the shock of adjusting and being in a new society. Main change, I think, is when he goes to live in a community of about 200 people. If you can say a street block of about a dozen houses, better turned into a community of a couple of hundred people. They've got their own small houses and a park, and they pull their resources, they grow a lot of their food and so on. And so for him, the big surprise is that people aren't just going off doing their own thing, they're all working together. And he discovers there's a reason for that, in that from time to time, climate change does strike. At one stage, there's a severe dust storm sweeps in. Everybody has to pitch in and help covering up gardens and so on, and removing cutting down a small windmill they've got and things like that. So there are reminders to him from time to time that climate change is still there and it's still having a severe effect. Another time there are heavy rains and a lot of places are flooded. Other things he does find, technology is an odd mixture. On the one hand, the tires and the cars are quite thin. It's difficult to get rubber. On the other hand, we've got devices like an emotional regulator. It's a small device, a bit like a hearing aid. You put behind your ear, and it can, to a degree, regulate your emotions to stop you from getting too depressed or agitated, which also helps him to adjust to society in this world. Another time he and his girlfriend that he meets get caught in a snowstorm in the Australian Alps. have to take refuge in a ranger's hut. Then there's a number of harpoon crews come out. There are some dramatic incidents in it, but it's not meant to be your normal adventure novel. It's more about what life could be like living then.
Wow, so interesting. And again, 2100 is the name of the novel that Robert's written. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, firstly, to entertain, to enjoy reading it. But secondly, to consider that there might be other ways we can live our lives. We may need to live them in future. We adapt to the effects of climate change and economic problems and so on. But we need to become more community-oriented. Now again, you hear talk about these preppies. You know, people are going preparing for the apocalypse or whatever. They normally take themselves off to some remote spot. They won't be the survivors. The survivors will be the ones that organise themselves into communities. All their resources. That is, I think, at times in future what we might have to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you are predicting the future. I do. I don't want to give too much away, and I want to give you time to tell us just a little sneak about your next book. Tell us the name of the other book that you have out and a little bit about what that's about.
Oh, that's on Amazon also. That's also set in Canberra's future, and it's called Canberra-esque. That's also in a sort of post-apocalyptic world. The apocalypse is when the bad thing happens, and the post-apocalypse is when the survivors pick up the pieces. But the interesting thing is what happens after that, when things start to improve and people from various communities start to link with each other. It's based in a Canberra setting where they've divided themselves up into lots of small communities, but now, two or three centuries in the future, they're starting to recombine and there are various power struggles. That novel was told in a rather, it's a comedy, told in rather tongue-in-cheek fashion. But it also shows the benefit of the far-sighted legacy of one man who will help Canberra to recover and reestablish its preeminence.
Yeah.
That one's also on Amazon.
Wow.
Or with both books. You can buy it, goes on our website on robertphillips.com.au, and you can get links from there through to Amazon.
Excellent. Robert, thanks. So fascinating. I think you've hit on some themes that we're definitely talking about these days. And we appreciate you coming on the show on America Tonight.
Oh, I appreciate talking to you, Kate.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.